Michael McEwen is in the studio with me tonight. He began studying photography at 15 and went on to get degrees in journalism and electronic media. He has embarked on an ambitious photo documentary project that will take him across different areas of America, Appalachia, New England, East Coast, Southwest, all the way to Alaska and Hawaii are the regions that we'll be focused on. He began right here in Cincinnati with Volume 1. It is titled American Confines, Cincinnati in 52. Michael, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us, to start with, if you would, about this title, American Confines, and then Cincinnati in 52.
The American Confines came from wanting to explore the country in these little areas like Appalachia and New England, try and scale down how America is instead of going like north and south, Midwest. And I thought it would be interesting to focus on these smaller areas and see what makes these areas go and so on and so forth. And the Cincinnati in 52 refers to not the year 1952, which some people have mistaken, but there's 52 neighborhoods. And I did this project over the course of 52 weeks. So,
and what made you choose that scope, if you will, for your book?
The main reasons were I wanted to find the personality of the city. And when you ask people to describe Cincinnati, you get a bunch of different answers, usually Reds and Bengals and P&G, but nothing really that grabs a hold of what the city actually is. And I thought the best way to do that would be to go through each neighborhood and let each neighborhood have its own voice. And I thought a year would be a good time frame, but I probably could have used actually a little bit more time because a week in each neighborhood didn't seem adequate.
I mean, did you sort of do a total immersion in each neighborhood?
Yeah, I would spend a day in each neighborhood, not even taking pictures, just walking around, trying to find out where like the heart of the neighborhood was and just see what was going on. And then just try to go around and see what was interesting. And then you get lost in a couple of the neighborhoods that have different aesthetic qualities. But some of the neighborhoods were a little bit tougher to get into and, as I call it, become a ghost, because that was the best way to get pictures is when people don't see you. The neighborhoods along Beekman were a little bit difficult. A lot of the poor neighborhoods in the city, people are usually a little bit more standoffish because they're not used to someone coming into the neighborhood and wanting to give that neighborhood a voice. It's usually for some crime or nothing positive, and the people in the neighborhoods are usually aware of that, so they're suspicious of you.
Did you have ways of overcoming that?
In most of the neighborhoods, took a little while, but yeah, like Millvale, I had a friend help me. He knew some people in the neighborhood, so I was able to get in that way. Because Millvale was one of the neighborhoods I actually spent more than a week in, just trying to get something. I didn't want to just show blight. I did want to see something more than, you know, what everyone says is a dire, hopeless neighborhood. But like East Westwood and Roll Hill and what's left of English Woods, those were really, really tough. And I want to go back and actually do something along that Beekman district on a separate project, because I don't think I got into it as much as I would have liked to.
Well, contrary to what you've just said, I found one of the most memorable photographs in the book, a very loving portrait of a mother and her three children, which I believe was taken in Millvale. And the affection she has for her children just emanates from that photograph. So I think you know, at least in part, certainly in that neighborhood, accomplished going beyond the mere surface of the state of the buildings, if you will, and the regimentation of the projects. This is a little challenging on the radio, but I do want you to give listeners a taste, if you will, of some of your wonderful photographs. So there's one that is taken in Avondale that I would describe as just magical. You want to tell us where it, what the actual location and how you happened to be there?
Well, that was at the Festival of Lights. It was actually as I was leaving, I had walked around for about 2 hours, and it was really difficult shooting because you're shooting at night and it's dark, and when you're trying to take a photograph, you've got all these lights and trying to get people, and usually you'll just get the lights and silhouettes of people, and I didn't feel like I got any good shots. And then as I was leaving, I saw this family walking out, and there's this covering of lights, and I only had like one shot left because most of the photos were on film, and I just saw the way they were heading out, and I took it really quick, and I knew I had something with the light covering and just them walking towards the exit, and it just kind of fell into place.
In a different vein, there's another photograph. I suspect it's going down the hill, maybe in Clifton Heights, coming toward town, the university area. And in the background, you see boarded up row houses, essentially. There's a Volkswagen also that's obviously seen better days and is pretty low to the ground. What's in the foreground on a telephone pole?
I don't know if it's a custom painting, but there was this canvas print attached to a telephone pole with a boot, like an army boot or worker's boot, tied to the painting and the telephone pole. It was on McMicken, a block and a half down from the Mockbee. I stumbled upon this.
And what's the painting?
It's a some flowers, sunflowers maybe.
Mm. Looks like a Van Gogh, reproduction of a Van
Gogh.
Yeah,
someone told me that it was a Van Gogh. Obviously not an original. I can't see someone just throwing that out there, but it was just this like beautiful painting in this blighted neighborhood, and it just had this stark contrast with the, like you said, the boarded up houses and the beat up Volkswagen.
I'm sure people are interested to know what kind of equipment you use.
It was kind of funny. When I started, I just had a Minolta X700 and an XD11, which are old film cameras, and I had a Sony A700 digital camera. And then I quickly realized that I needed some better gear. I bought a Minolta A9, which is the professional film camera, the last one that Minolta made. They got bought out by Sony. That camera proved to be the best thing that I had found. It was a wonderful, or is a wonderful camera, and I use fixed focal length lenses like 50 millimeter, 85 millimeter, and 35. Those were primary lenses I used. When I started out, if you were to look at how I went through the first couple months, I got some good photographs, but with the better equipment, the look became a little bit stronger, and I had more control over how to shoot. And actually, my first couple cameras broke once it got hot. They just started to wear down, and I went through about four different cameras. But I mean, they're pretty cheap to replace because no one uses film cameras anymore, and Minolta doesn't have the same appeal as like a Canon or a Nikon, but I find them to be quite good. So,
well, I think whatever equipment you use, this beautiful book is a testimony to the fact that you have a wonderful eye. So thanks so much for honoring the city with your work and coming in and visiting with us tonight.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. And it was a wonderful experience. It gave me a interesting perspective because when you see the city one way for so long and then you all of a sudden see it a different way after going through all the neighborhoods. And real quick, my father was a Cincinnati police officer. And one of the things that I found interesting, and he passed away about 10 years ago, so I can't ask him, but it made me start to think, what was he thinking when he was walking around the city? Because there are places where it can really bring you down, and it's really sad to see how the city is in certain areas. You know, I had to stop and pause, think like, how did my dad deal with this all the time?
Yes, and maybe like that loving photograph of that family, he really knew individuals and didn't just see urban blight. but saw the individual people in it. Thanks again for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you.
I've been talking with Michael McKeon about his book, American Confines, Cincinnati in 52, about which a reviewer commented, "These photos reflect the unvarnished and unretouched face of a city when it isn't looking back. They seem caught more than taken, marked by the complete absence of an ungenuine moment." You'll find more information about Michael's book at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.